This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network, as well as on cagematch.net, as well as on YouTube. Yes, I listened to the last show on YouTube, to be quite honest, because I was just correcting tests and I wanted to fire up the show. So that worked out well, Dylan. So yeah, I wasn't on the last show. We couldn't really match our schedules this past week. So I basically told you, yeah, if you can get it done with someone else, and that someone else was Dean, of course, for Pro Wrestling Noah. Go for it, and Dylan went for it, and I really like the show that you did, Dylan.
I'm really glad you did. Thank you for listening, obviously, and thank you to all the listeners out there who checked it out. And yeah, we never actually promote the YouTube, but I've been putting these up for a while. I think since we got on Cage Match, because there's like a little section where you can put a YouTube link in there. And Flosh was really big on that at first, always wants the YouTube vid. So I made this channel, and like I said, it's not like we really do anything. I just make a graphic and put the audio up. But if you want to watch it on YouTube, thank you. Actually, I will say this. During the course of these last few months, we've actually gotten a lot of good comments on the YouTube videos, too.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
You know, like some really cool stories. Like I remember the episode we did about the Golden Week episode we did, and somebody messaged on YouTube that had actually was at the Big Japan show and took his girlfriend or something there, like for a first ever show, and they had a fantastic time, and they were telling that story on there, and I was so happy to see those kind of stuff. And
yeah,
that's another point I like to make too. I don't know if it's because of us specifically, or me or you or what, but if you look at some other shows and some other places on the internet, the things that always get talked about are like YouTube comments and Reddit. Mm-hmm. And things, and how it's just a nightmare. Like, it's complete anarchy. Like, people are mean and want to kill everybody in the comments and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But for us, anytime that we're mentioned, if you look at us up on Reddit, Eastern Lariat on Reddit, or like on the YouTube comments on our videos, it's always nice things. Like, everybody says good stuff about us. Maybe there's, like, one negative comment or you know, something like that. Very minor. Yeah. I mean, nobody's perfect after all. But we, for the most part, get very good and nice comments everywhere. And I think it's a sign of the respect that we've been able to build up over these years. And obviously, you've been around longer than me in the public foray. But you have built up a lot of respect with your name brand. Obviously, you got, like, a million followers on X right now. Whenever you retweet the shows on the Eastern Lariat account, views go way up. That's all I'm saying. You are a superstar player. That's why you're jet setting. You're going all around the world, and I'm just hanging out. But hey, first day of NFL season as we're recording, I am wearing my Panthers jersey. I've got the visor with the Panthers on it. I am Panthered out for the day. I'm so hyped for this season. So this is probably one of my most excited episodes of the whole year, to be honest. Yeah. Even though like the stuff we're talking about actually isn't that great for the most part, but I'm so fired up for this episode. Let's go Panthers for this year. Keep pounding, baby. New quarterback Bryce Young coming in. We got some rivals coming in. Mamaw's coming over. She likes the Titans, which I'm not a big Titans fan, to be honest. They're the local team here. But I like the Panthers the most of all. So we're all in a good spirits right now. New year, just like in Bundesliga. You're starting off 0-0. Who knows what can happen? Maybe Schalke could go undefeated and win the whole championship, which the Panthers did almost do one time.
That is not going to happen anymore. So
It may be too late for shocking.
But Dylan, just half an hour ago, just as we're talking about being hyped, I just witnessed Germany become basketball world champion, which is something that I would have never imagined that would ever happen, because compared to football, basketball is such a niche sport in Germany, and the infrastructure that's there for football in Germany is so much bigger than for basketball. It's just almost incomparable. And still, though, they managed to march through this world championship led by Dennis Schröder to just be a dominant force. I mean, they at one point of the final against Serbia today, they were 12 points in the lead. And in the end, I think they won it by 4 or 6 points. Very clearly in the end, even though it was getting closer in the fourth quarter, but it was just a compelling game, just a compelling team, and a nice change to the German football team, actually, which is a complete disaster of a team. Nothing matches. The coach was sacked just a couple of minutes ago. They lost 1-4 to Japan in a friendly yesterday. That was atrocious. So it's nice to have that at least.
Yeah, that sounds like that second part sounds like kind of a bad thing you were talking about. But man, the hoops team, though, how about this Germany coming in with the big FIBA World Cup win right now? Hey, I'm all about it. You know, you've got players like, you know, Dennis Schröder, but also the Wagner brothers. Franz is an up and coming star in the NBA. You know, you've got guys that have NBA experience. You know, they came in through big. And the USA team, of course, everyone's just burying them up and down. Steve Kerr getting killed on Twitter. And everybody thinking he sucks as a coach, even though he's won like 10 championships in the NBA. But, I mean, there was a lot of mistakes made. And obviously, with the U.S., with basketball, obviously in football, definitely nobody expects the U.S. team to win anything. Like, when it comes to that. Outside of one person who's in my living room right now, who was enraged at their loss in the World Cup last year. I remember him throwing stuff around and getting super mad and wishing death on the manager and everything else. He just hated everything about that. I don't think he didn't wish death. He just wished that he would be deported and left behind at all. So he wanted to live.
That is not, well, that's only a little bit margin off better.
he was very angry, and I couldn't believe it, because I kept telling him, I said, Ken, the U.S. is never, ever going to win the World Cup. And he just would not want to hear that. And even the women's team dropped the ball earlier this year as well. So the U.S. teams are just failing right now up and down the spectrum of the international field. And there is no NFL league, like World Cup of American-style football, which the U.S. would win, probably blowing everyone else out by a million degrees. But that's just not a thing that happens. So I will say this. One thing on the NFL we have to say. The Panthers, because they started a new initiative in the NFL. I don't know if you've heard about this, Striga, but they're expanding, like they're hooking up teams with different countries pretty much like this year. And the Panthers are the representative team for Germany, to be fair. So we get linked again. And I think like Ken's team is like a Spain or something. And all the teams have different countries. The Chiefs are like in five. The Chiefs are the best team, so they have like 20 different countries they represent somehow. But it's going to be a fun season. And congratulations to the German basketball team for winning the FIBA World Cup. Very proud of them and all the players and coaches and the fans.
Yes. Great final up, of course. Yes. And we are going to go over to Japan. To pro wrestling, Noah. At first, I wanted to make some points based on your show that you did.
I want to hear what you got to say, Stringer, because I wanted to know. We haven't really talked about much of the tournament outside of the final, so I'd like to hear what you got to say.
First of all, I probably was a bit higher than the both of you on the final. I thought it was a very compelling and a very, very good match between Shiozaki and Kenno. They harkened back to some of the spots that they did in their 2017 final with going for the moonsault. This time it landed. Thought it was a very, very well executed final, and the story that Go Shiozaki had throughout the tournament, you pointed that out in your show, was also very compelling, I'd say, because he had to go through so many grueling matches, and Manabu Soya, of course, was an integral part of that story. And man, what a great tournament Manabu Soya had for himself. I don't know if anyone would have expected him to perform that well on such a high level that he did. I loved most of his matches because I love this approach that he just has of this very basic moveset, but executed in a way that everything he does looks just dangerous, and he's just this he has this mean streak about him. And Goshi Ozaki had to go through that two times in this tournament. After he had the time limit draw, and then he had to go to the overtime match or the decision match in the end to make it to the finals. Then went against Kenno. They basically had stacked the deck so far that in the end it could only have been Goshi Ozaki. So that was done very well, I thought. Otherwise, you talked about Jake Lee as the champion, and they're doing, of course, the Shiozaki and Jake Lee match. I, for one, think that Jake Lee has definitely overperformed in his run in Pro Wrestling Noah so far. Remember, at the beginning of the year, I was skeptical, might even be the wrong word, because I said that there was no chance that he'd become champion, and a couple of weeks after that, he became champion. But, of course, also due to the fact that that happened after the February show where Okada and Kiyomiya happened. But over the course of these last couple of months, I thought he stabilized himself well as a champion to the level that pretty much what you said about him. When he has someone to work with, he is able to be a champion that looks like one. He can't, though, have challenges that are not complete main event level in Pro Wrestling Noah. And that's where the problems with him maybe begin, because he'll eventually run out of these guys that he could face as the guys on top of the promotion or the legends of the promotion. And so maybe with Goshi Ozaki now going for the title, this could be the end of the line, because we talked about that. The big New Year show is not going to be in Budokan. We said that on one of our last shows wrongly. It's where is it going to? In Ariake, yeah, right, in Ariake Colosseum, right? Still, though, they probably want to have a big main event for that one. And with Goshi Ozaki back on top, I think there is a good chance that the title can be in the main event, even with some other big matches, whereas compared to if Jake Lee would go into that show as champion, I wouldn't be so confident about that. Still, though, I think he had a solid tournament as champion. The one match that stood out to me was the match against Kenno. Thought it was one of the best matches of the entire tournament. And overall, thought the tournament, it didn't have that many outstanding matches, but it had a very good ground floor. I thought I was I followed along the tournament, and compared to the G1 Climax, it was just so long, that's so many matches. The N1 almost was a breath of fresh air. But one thing that I noticed is their usage of their foreigners. Isn't it weird how they brought in so many foreigners for this tournament? And yet, coming out of that tournament, none of that foreigners are used in any prominent position, but they brought in another one with Psycho Clown to go for the national title, even though Lance Enoi has a win over the champion, Eliodo Dr. Wagner Jr., right at the beginning of the tournament. So that doesn't really mean anything, apparently. And Psycho Clown coming in, it seems like that he's immediately one of the hottest acts that this promotion has. On one point, that's obviously great for him. But on the other hand, it raises the question what the influx of all this foreign talent really was worth. And pretty much you can go back to what we said about Pro Wrestling Noah a lot in recent years. They almost have this addiction of bringing in new guys and new guys and more new guys. They just announced, or LJ Cleary from Ireland just announced that he will be joining Pro Wrestling Noah in the next foreseeable future, he said. That's another new guy that's coming in for the junior heavyweight division. while all the guys that are already there, they really don't get anything. They are just there, and they're competing on the undercards, like Anthony Green, like what's his tag team partner? Yeah, what's sure. his Jack Morris is of course there. Stallion Rogers is there. Yeah, all these guys are just there, and nobody gets anything. And the guy coming in new, he gets the title shot.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot there. I definitely liked the final. I totally agreed with what you said. I did say that I thought their prior match, the draw that they had, was a bit better. Definitely more of a standout match. And I think those matches, the ones you said, the Jake and Keno too, I think I said this on DM to you too, the good thing about those matches is that they were the ones that felt important in the yes. tournament. And I think that helped them greatly. Whereas, you know, the Jake match versus Kita Mia, like, that I thought drug the tournament to a halt, and the Jack Morris match as well, the two draws that he had. And they just didn't feel like they meant anything, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But Jake, like I said, you pretty much were saying exactly what I felt too on the last episode on that. The foreigners, I just don't understand it from a monetary perspective. To be honest, flying in all of these guys, you're flying out, and you show me Nosawa was in England for Inamura's Progress show. It's like, who's paying for all these flights, and why are we wasting all of this money for seemingly no reason? Overall, it's one of those things I can't really understand. But as the tournament itself, though, again, I think we are pretty much on the same page on that. And I even mentioned it when me and Dean were talking. He was talking pretty negatively on maybe Yoshioka, for example. Yeah. But I basically said, look, he's probably maybe fourth or fifth from the bottom. But you compare that to the fourth or fifth worst guy in the G1, and he just, like, he blew him out, like, blew whoever that was, Kenta or Evil or whoever. Sure. Yoshioka was far, far better than whoever that was. Or Reynolds. You know, anybody you want to say that was bad in the tournament. Tangaloa. Like, he beat all of them. Sure. And, you know, and Jack Morris.
Even with
thing.
Very little effort.
And that was a big problem about Yoshioka specifically. He's a guy that I really wanted to pop off and really show me something. And it didn't really come. But I thought he did a fine tournament. Like you said, he didn't put in max effort. It's not like any of his matches were memorable. But there was nothing bad about them either. So there was no real... And throughout the entire tournament, like I said, to me, Huxley, I'm not a big fan of. And I wasn't a fan of a lot of his matches. But there just wasn't a lot bad about the tournament. There just wasn't a lot standout. But it was still a good watch and good to follow. And I liked where they went at the end with Go. I personally would have gone with Nakajima. To be honest, you know, but yeah, we talked about it and we agreed for sure. We were on the same page. Speaking of the YouTube earlier,
continue.
No, I just wanted to hype up. There's a YouTube exclusive, first ever YouTube exclusive on there. Me and Dr. Jonathan talking about the N1 for an alternative perspective because he was on the preview show we did. So there's actually a video there that's just us talking. Like, it's like 30 or 40 minutes. It's not too long or anything. So like a little bonus episode there. So subscribe to the YouTube.
Yeah, like all the content that's coming out. That's good stuff. Yeah. I was just going to say that... the thing with Nakajima could be, and the reason that he didn't win the tournament could be, that there could be something with Kento Miyahara coming at the end of the year. Because remember, All Japan has this big show on December 31st. Yep, and I could see the favor being returned, if you know what I mean, with Kento Miyahara losing to Nakajima early in August, and then maybe... He could be the one that drops the fall to Kento Miyahara on that show. That could be something that could be in the works, and that could have prevented him from winning the N1 in the end.
I just I wish that they could have found some way to work the title into that. I think that would have been the best idea, but I guess maybe they just didn't want to overall. Yep. And I get it in some ways, but for me, again, I'm the type of person... You can't catch lightning in the bottle twice. And they had it with them. I would have struck while the iron's hot. And it'll still be great, though. I mean, everybody will be in love with that rematch after how great the first one was. Match of the year, like, type of level match, pretty much. And I think that it was a great thing. And like I said, I like the Go route. I don't have any problem with it. It told a good story of him winning his first tournament. I just would have gone the other way. It's not right or wrong. It's just a little bit different. I don't have any negative feelings on it at all. Even if Keno had won, I think there's a good argument that he's been an MVP level player. I mean, look at our half year awards.
Sure.
He was up. Yep. He was tied with Okada.
Definitely is.
Yeah, yeah. So with all that said, we had a long discussion about this on the last show, but I'm going to throw it to you now. Where do you think this is all going for that Ariake show? You know, guys, I think me and you both agree Go should win the title from Jake overall to be that, you know, get the title. And like I said, I'm with you. Jake definitely overperformed. Even when he won the title, I was kind of flabbergasted when you were so negative on him winning, but not because of him, only because of how bad Kaito looked.
So it
wasn't like I was advocating for him, saying, yeah, he should definitely be the champion. It was just like, he can't be the champion after that Okada match, or Kaito can't be the champion. But I thought he overperformed. Every match he had was better until the tournament, where I think he didn't really stand out enough until the end, in my opinion. So I think Go is going to win the title. But regardless, whatever you think, where do you think they're going with this, the grand scheme of things? Because we threw out a lot of possibilities. Dean had some great ideas, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, going to this big show in Nagoya that's happening in September. Maybe we can focus on that one first, because that's the show where Goshi Ozaki is going to get the title shot. Then they announced Hayata defending the junior heavyweight title against Seki Yoshioka, if I'm not mistaken. And they have El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. against Psycho Clown for the national title. I don't know about you, Dylan. Do you sense a title change here, or do you think Wagner will march on?
No reason for a title change, in my opinion. I think that Wagner... I will say this, though, because there's something that happened right after we did our show. He had an interview with a Lucha YouTube page, and he basically said his contract's coming up at the end of December, so they're working on that. He hasn't re-signed yet, according to him. Again, it may be all of fake news or whatever, but according to him, he hasn't re-signed yet, and maybe that's something they have in mind. But I think that's 3 months out. You can still find another person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if he hasn't signed yet, maybe he's looking to get a big match out of his next contract right at the start. I'm just browsing through this roster, and I don't really have a big match for this Ariake show in mind, unless you want to go back to a classic with Goshi Ozaki and Takashi Sugiura, who has now returned. I don't think you want to do Shiozaki versus Nakajima. Again, that's one of your negative points of the tournament, because it doesn't really make sense that these two would face each other. So how about the main event for that Ariake show could be Goshi Ozaki as GHC heavyweight champion against the GHC national champion in El Hijo Dr. Wagner Jr.?
That's actually an idea I threw out in the show with Jonathan on YouTube. Because I thought that's a great idea. Because he brought up, actually, if you look at their history, after the N1, every year there's almost always a national title and GHC heavyweight title match after the N1. So that's a great idea for me, and I think the best option of the NOAH roster. And it's a test for Wagner to see how he fares in the main event. I mean, obviously the fans get behind him, and they really loved his win versus Go. I thought that was one of the best matches of the tournament as well. So I'd love to see a rematch. Wagner got the win over him. It makes perfect sense from that standpoint. Maybe something to set up. And I like the idea of an all the marbles type of deal to make it that much more special. See where they can go. And, you know, it kind of creates a little bit of doubt, too, in the title match as well. Which, with a Sugiura or someone like that, I think everybody would know that Go is going to win that, you know, in all likelihood. But with Wagner, with the title, I think that creates a bit of intrigue in it, too. So of the native roster, that to me is the best idea that you could throw out.
Yeah. I don't really see anyone else with Wagner's popularity. That could be a match that could sell a lot of tickets, because it's also a very unique main event for a Japanese promotion to have a Mexican star in the main event. And, of course, they have had the match in the tournament where Wagner beat Shiozaki. So that's that.
And This actually came up a few months ago, speaking of the YouTube comments. Listener Nicholas Awad, he actually predicted that exact thing, that he wanted to see Wagner win the heavyweight title and become the first ever Mexican heavyweight champion, which I brought up too, but I got to shout out him for the idea originally. Maybe not exactly how it's played out, but I think the path is open if they wanted to do that. I don't know what their plans are with Go, only because, I mean, he to me, had basically all of the best matches of the tournament. You know, the top three matches were all him, in my opinion. And he was awesome, and probably the MVP, and a great wrestler. But we know his injury issues in the past. Yeah. And that's why Jonathan pushed back against that idea a little bit, because basically my idea for that was that Go would win the title and defend both titles. You get a double main eventer, because the roster is a little thin on top, and maybe use it to put over someone new. And basically the story is somewhat similar to the OC storyline in AEW, where Go is just like, look, I've got these titles. I'm defending them until the wheels fall off. And his point was, the problem with that is that the wheels may also fall off in real life, which is a good point. Yeah. It kind of goes against that. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. And that's why I thought Dean's ideas were all very intriguing for outsiders coming into the main event.
Yeah. I mean, if we can have Tetsuya Naito going for the world title 2023 with his wheels having fallen off too, so why can't we have Kyoshi Ozaki?
That's true. And Go, I mean, he looked great in this tournament. This, whatever injuries he's had, it really felt like he was in prime form. So hopefully he can keep that form up, because he's a great talent. You've got stories to go to. Again, it depends on how far they want to go with the outsider angle. I think a good idea, too, would be how we talked about it on the show with the outsiders coming in. I think somebody like a Kento, if you could do that, he has a great story.
That would have been my question, Dylan. Yeah. You talk about that for a couple of weeks now, that you would love to see Kento Miyahara come to Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah.
Because of all the potential matches that there would be. What would your plan be to bring him in? Because there haven't really been signs in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they've been a little busy with the tournament that's kind of taken over the promotion. So there's still time for that if they want to set something up for that. But I really wasn't even thinking long term. More so, now that Go's won the tournament, who are guys that would be a big match? And even Wagner, that's a test match. We can't say that that's going to draw for sure. There's not a lot of evidence, but we hope so, because he's awesome, pretty much. But somebody like Kento is a tried and true draw if they wanted to turn to him, and has an easy story with Go. I mentioned on the last episode, they were the tag champions in All Japan when Go left. And he had to vacate the title when that happened, if you remember all those years ago in 2015. Kenta, I thought that was the one that stuck out to me. I thought that was a great idea that Dean had. Kenta coming back to his old stomping grounds to be who he was before in Noah. I think you have a lot of fun stuff you could do with that. Him and Go, Kobashi's proteges going at it. You have a good story with those two. And obviously Akiyama, but I'm getting less confident about that one only because they've done so much with him in All Japan, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But the outsider seems to be the one. And remember, another thing I brought up, who would have guessed last year before it was announced that Nakamura would be in the main event?
Right, yeah.
So it feels like they must have, and I think that they must have, and it may not be anybody we said, it may be somebody completely different, nobody expects, but it must be some kind of curveball, you know, because there really is no obvious option going in. But I do, if they don't have that, and they're just going to do a straight-up match with a roster member, your pick and the one that I said earlier about Wagner, I think is the best option. But I do think if it were me, I would probably want to have something special up my sleeve. And hopefully they have that. But if not, it could be a great match anyway. Because the Noah roster up and down, this tournament proves it. Say what you want about their stories and their booking and what they do, but this roster is great, like up and down.
Yeah, imagine what a booker could do with that roster.
If it had somebody with like two little brain cells in their pea brain that could do it, unfortunately, we don't have that right now with a lot of what they're doing. Going in there, I'm happy that Yoshioka is getting the title shot as well. I think he's a guy that I always advocate for. You know, that's something kind of cool. I don't really expect much of it because I feel like in my head, Hayata is going to be the champion for about the next 100 years, probably. So I don't expect a lot, but I think I'm happy that he's at least getting a spotlight of some sort. I mean, again, the talent roster is great. It's just what they do with them is very questionable.
That is right. One more point on Dean's takes on the last show. I think that his take on Yoshiki Nomura is a very healthy one because, of course, we laughed a lot about his 0-7 run in this tournament and him looking bad. But the comparison to New Japan Pro Wrestling is, of course, completely valid with guys like Yuta Tsuji. They haven't been doing anything in the last couple of years either. Went on excursion for a long time, so Japanese wrestling has been very slow to promote their young talent in the last couple of years. We see it sped up now, or we see it speeding up now with the Yuma Anzai, for example, in All Japan Pro Wrestling and others in New Japan Pro Wrestling as well. They are taking different routes with Kosei Fujita, with Roy Oiwa. Now, still though, it's been very slow. But the one thing about Pro Wrestling Noah I want to say is that in contrast to other promotions where you visibly can see the promotion's young talent eventually get promoted to a level where they can actually be players and be actually stars, you haven't seen that in Pro Wrestling Noah in forever. The last set of rookies are gone. Yoshiki Nomura, he could be someone, but there's very little proof that they have any kind of confidence in their own house talent, which is crazy to think about because for forever in Japanese wrestling, being a true born to your promotion meant the most. And you'd be there forever, but can you be there forever if nothing ever happens for you? That's the question that I have. And so I'm really looking forward to Inamura coming back to Japan because then we'll really see the proof of what they think of the guy because that's the ultimate straw. I mean, what else could he do other than go to an excursion to come back as a different guy? If they don't promote him as a different guy upon returning, I don't think there is any hope for him anymore.
I wish that I had Dean's faith in Noah because he's such a great wrestler. Like that's the thing about him. He has everything you want. The great size, great moveset, power. Like everything about him is so good. But they, like you said, like there's not a lot that you can point to him and his career up to this point. And it's so unfortunate when you see all the potential that he does have. I hope he's right, and I hope that Noah does have a master plan when he returns. And it's proven that he could be a main event guy because I think he could be if they get behind him. Obviously, they've struggled so much with Kaito. And I was positive on the Oiwa and Kaito tag team idea that they've done so far. I think it's a great idea to give him respect. And Inamura, for all of his flaws, he has not been embarrassed the way Kaito has. At this point, he hasn't gotten big wins. But also, he hasn't gotten embarrassed. There's no Okada squashing him in a major match. There's no guys pouring drinks on his head or Muto or any of that crap. He hasn't dealt with any of that to where he's scarred and damaged. So hopefully they can get past this excursion, and who knows how long this will be. I know Miyawaki, he was gone for a while, and he's kind of the last person we can point to.
Just a dude on the roster that loses a lot.
Yeah, he's basically a job guy, the juniors. And that's a shame, too, because he's a very talented person. And that's the thing. It's not just one guy we could look at. It's easy to just say, oh, Kaito, they botched his push. But he might be one of their best examples of a push, because if you look at everyone else, it's either a person that doesn't exist because they don't have any young rookies, or somebody that's they're not unsuccessful. They've done nothing. So there's just no evidence of a positive gain. And that's been true for so long. it's not just the current leadership or the current ownership or anything like that. Noah has had trouble for over a decade when it comes
to their inception.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've had a handful of guys that were successful in the early days who were kind of basically holdovers from All Japan. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's rough. There's just not a lot there of Noah Trueborn talent of all of these years. And it's not gotten any better. If anything, it's gotten worse as time has gone along. But for the small sample size we've got, I said it on the last show, I think Ozawa has a lot of potential. I think he's a guy that if they were smart, they would really think about doing something with. It's Iwata. It's too early in his career. He's only had a few matches, but I like what I've seen of him so far. But it's just tough. There's just not a lot of young talent in this company that you could point to as being successful to have confidence in. And Inamura, as much as we love him and want him to be a great guy, but it's going to take time anyway. He's going to be gone for a while on excursion, and hopefully a lot of this negative feelings will blow over. And like you said, all it takes is look at Tsuji. All he had to do was that one debut where he destroyed a bunch of guys, looked like a badass, and everybody was ready for him to win the title pretty much afterwards.
Yeah.
If they could do that with Inamura.
Very easy.
Yeah, exactly. Just have Inamura come out with a new look. I said it before, I don't like his look at all. I think the gear he has kind of sucks, actually.
Looks very indie.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. Switch all that up. Have him come out with something where he looks just like a killer. Again, just look at Tsuji's debut. Just copy that. Have him destroy all of the good-looking guys in one fell swoop at an angle. And we'll all be ready because he's going to look so freaking awesome doing it that we'll all love him again.
Well, I'm not very confident about that happening. But
You're right.
Maybe we'll see something completely out of blue field that Noah eventually has this idea. Hey, let's do that. Well, in comparison to Pro Wrestling Noah, All Japan Pro Wrestling actually has one of their true-born talents on top of the promotion who got to beat two of the legends of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe you could say that about Yuji Nagata and Satoshi Kojima. He beat them back-to-back in title matches and is still the Triple Crown champion right now. They've had a couple of shows in early September now where they did a couple of title matches on different shows. And while I'm happy for them that they are able to draw for their level good houses in Aore Nagaoka, for example, with 1,560 for the Triple Crown match between Aoyagi and Kojima. And then they had the Yoyogi show this past Friday where they did around 1,600 with Kento Miyahara and Yuma Anzai in the main event. While I am happy for them that they are getting to do that, I would have preferred, from a fan's perspective, I would have preferred to see a big show with all big matches, with the Yuma and Kojima match on top, and maybe the Kento and Yuma Anzai match beneath that. I think that could have been a very, very good show. With that, what All Japan did now, they've been successful in the box office for that, but it could have been a blow-away show that turns some heads. But now what we got were two shows that I would say were good, at least on top, especially the matches that have seen the young talent in Nagaoka and in Yoyogi were very interesting, I thought. The last time we talked about All Japan Pro Wrestling, we talked about Ryukyu Honda being promoted to a level where he could match Kento Miyahara, and then he eventually beat Miyahara in the tournament, just coming short to Satoshi Kojima, which I thought was a very good decision to not have him go all the way yet, because there's still more room for a story to tell for Ryukyu Honda making his way to the top. And after all, losses in Japanese pro wrestling are integral to a guy's push. And Ryukyu Honda has risen to a considerable level at this point. I got to beat Atsuki Aoyagi in a very good match, I thought. So he got promoted on this show. Hokuto Omori, in contrast to that, he lost to Kento Miyahara, and he even got down to his knees, and Kento Miyahara shook his hand from there. So for Omori, there is still a way to go. And it's interesting, though, that they took this route with him. We're going to wait and see what that means for him, that he maybe could be on the verge of joining a team with the others in Zenichi Shinjidai. Currently, he is, of course, still with Minoru Suzuki and Naoki Doi in that weird group. Then we had Rising Hayato against Hiromu Takahashi, and we haven't talked about that match, Dylan. I thought this was by far the best Hiromu Takahashi match since the Best of the Super Junior, since I think his matches with Mike Bailey and Titan. This one was Takahashi just working extremely hard to help Rising Hayato raise his profile as well. I thought Takahashi put a lot of heart, effort, and spirit into this match. Whereas in comparison, for example, to the Yamato match in Dragon Gate, I didn't really sense that. But this one I thought was a great, great match.
Yeah, I wasn't that high on it, to be honest. It was good, but I still didn't really get that sense that you were talking about. I thought it was a good match with some good wrestling, like all well executed. And I thought Hayato... I'll say this, that they worked this match really well to put over Hayato and being on the same level as Hiromu. So I think it did succeed in what it wanted. But if I compare this to Hayato's match versus Doi earlier in the year, I definitely thought there was much more to that one than this one overall. So it was still a really strong match, definitely better than the Yamato match. I will give you that for sure. But I enjoyed it. It was good. But I didn't think it was something where I thought, oh, you know, like this proved everyone wrong or anything like that. Like I just thought it was a really good match that elevated Hayato.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the level he was at, but... You know, that and the main event were kind of on a similar level to me, like 3 3/4.
I like this one far better than the main event.
Oh, okay. The cage match rating has the main event pretty higher than the junior match, which is interesting.
I mean, the main event was a very good match as well. I mean, Yagi was a great moment.
Yeah, I thought the main event was a little better, actually. But they're on the same level to me, like 3 3/4. Neither of them were great matches, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
They were good, and they accomplished what they needed to, which is really all that matters, ultimately. But was it a match that I felt was so special? No.
None of these two will be in the conversation for match of the year, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously not. Like I said, watch the Hayato and the Doi match, and I think there's a pretty stark difference, in my opinion.
The Hayato and Doi match?
Yeah. For March.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, it's been quite some time. I didn't know that you were going back to that one. Yeah.
Well, that's really his biggest, like, that's his only other big match this year.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, this was better than the Lindemann and Hayato match, too, which, more questionable booking, I would say.
Once it was announced for the great show, I lost any hope in Rising Hayato actually beating a Lindemann. So I'm guessing that it's Hikaru Sato again, taking back the title for All Japan Pro Wrestling from El Lindemann. That was announced for the Kurikan show, I think, on September 23. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that should be a good match. Lindemann's had a really weird last couple of months in general, ever since he
won. What's up there?
I bet he probably isn't that motivated with what's going on in the company right now. Because I think he's really struggled, honestly. Like the last couple of months, both of the title challenges, but also even the match at Gotenbari Pro, I didn't think he stood out. Yeah. I've expressed my distaste for the Sumo Hall main event, which it wasn't his fault at all, but it wasn't like he stood out either, like to save the match or anything.
Yeah, so, it's weird with him, right? Because T-Hawk, on the other hand, of course, yeah, he's champion and he's on top of the promotion, but he could also like be surrounded by this chaos that's going on in Great with all the guys coming in and this weird Sumo Hall show. But T-Hawk, he really feels like he's motivated.
he's doing everything he can. Like, you know, I really, whatever issues there are with Glate, it's not because of him. He's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the best he can. Pretty much. It's not like he's saving the company either with his title reign, but all of his matches have been really good to great. And when he was in All Japan, he did really good work for them and good business as well. So, you know, I like T-Hawk a lot as champion, and Lindemann had a great title reign in the ring. But lately, for whatever reason, like I said, I don't know if it's motivation or what, but he hasn't been hitting the same way he was last year.
That is definitely true. Yeah, so that was the one show from Nagaoka. Basically, all the matches, all the singles matches that you had on this show are recommended, with the exception, of course, Yoshitatsu against the Super Sasadango Machine. For what it was fine, but you don't really have to watch that. But for the young talent, just watch all the top matches on that show. That's really worth it. We'll see where that leads us with guys like Honda Omori, Rising Hayato, and of course, one Yuma Anzai, Dylan, who was in the main event for the Yoyogi National Stadium show. And I remember us a couple of weeks ago fumbling around when we were trying to figure out what the hell the main event for that Yoyogi show was going to be. Because they had this Triple Crown match already announced for Nagaoka. So doing two Triple Crown matches back-to-back within 4 days didn't really seem likely. But on the other hand, what else could there have been? And what there was Kento Miyahara and Yuma Anzai. So what did you think about this choice for the main event and the main event, the match itself?
I 100% agree with what you said earlier. I wish they had just done the title match on this show. And maybe have this be a blowaway show where the titles all get spotlighted. And maybe the show on the third isn't as great. But you make this Yoyogi show feel like a huge deal, which I think we all wanted and even expected. Like you said, we tried our best to figure it out, but they went in this direction and just trusted the kid pretty much with this, who he's done a great job. I thought in the N1, he was among the top players to me in an otherwise great company as well. And him versus Go, to me, was one of the best matches of the whole tournament. So I really loved his run. They put him in a huge spot here in this Kento anniversary match. And to be honest, I mean, they had the Kairi match with Sari, and they had the DDT run in. But there really wasn't any big secondary drawing match on this show, to be perfectly honest with you. There was no title matches. I guess the Glate tag titles, I guess you could call them that. No worthwhile big matches, let's just say that. It was really all on them. It was Kento and Anzai. And kind of like what we said about Wagner and our theoretical Ariake show for Noah, this was almost like a test, it felt like. What can you do? Like, we've given you a push. You've gotten pushed more than any rookie in a million years, it feels like. What can you do in a big spot against our top star, Kento Miyahara? And they did a pretty decent number. It was a little bit less than the cage match that Stardom had, which was the last time anybody ran a show. It was like 100 people less. Mm-hmm. They did better than the Best of Super Junior show at Yoyogi. And so they've done some good stuff there. It wasn't a bad number at all. For a show they didn't have to burn any kind of realistic big match on. And I thought the match itself was very strong. I thought it was a great match. One of Anzai's best so far this year. And he's already built up quite a resume. If you guys remember, I'm probably the one who loves the Anzai versus Nagata title match more than anybody else. Like, I thought that was a significantly great match. Like, one of the best of the company to me. And this was right up there with it. I mentioned him versus Go, one of the best matches in the N1. So everywhere he goes, he's having legitimately great matches, and I thought he delivered again. And Kento, what a great job. Even though he did win, he did a great job of really putting the spotlight on Anzai as well, and working a little bit of that Tanahashi style when he faces an underdog, turn that little heel twist a little bit around him here. And I thought he did a good job here and made Anzai look great. The crowd really rallies behind Anzai at every turn, and in the N1 too. Even the Noah fans were really getting behind him in pretty much all of his matches. And I think he's just got – you can't really explain or put into words just how strong of a performer he is for his age right now. And he just continues to succeed. And I thought this was another success, both in terms of how it worked out and the match itself.
And that's the second guy within just a couple of weeks that Kento Miyahara made. So they are really high on their talent, and they're slowly but surely elevating them. And you could see it in the match. Of course, in the end, Kento Miyahara beat Yuma Anzai pretty handily with just one shutdown suplex. But Anzai got a lot of offense in, especially, of course, once again, built around his knee strike that is so over with the All Japan crowd already. He has incorporated that to his arsenal to a perfect level. He's not only able to do that as a defensive move, he's also able to do it as an offensive move. It's just, it fits him so well with his body type that he has, a very lengthy guy.
This is his version, not just as a jumbo tribute, which everybody knows it is, but this is his version of the Okada dropkick. Like, he's utilizing
Oh, yeah. That way. Oh, yeah, great point. Yes, absolutely. Yes, so that was a match that elevated him even more. After the match, we saw a handshake between the two. And I just mentioned the one with Hokuto Omori on the other show, where he got down on his knees. Yuma Anzai did not. He stood with Kento Miyahara. They looked each other in the eyes, and Kento Miyahara congratulated him on that main event. I said it on Twitter. We'll go from here to a point in time where Yuma Anzai gets more confident and where he maybe gets a more defiant handshake with Kento Miyahara and wants to surpass Miyahara for the position of the top guy of the promotion. And we could also, in the end, when Kento Miyahara eventually is a more of a vet, even more of a veteran guy in 5 to 10 years down the line, we could see Yuma Anzai and him being on one level eventually. But this one, I thought, was a very powerful image with these two shaking hands.
And after the main event of a big show as well, just again, it shows you their confidence in him was very well placed. And the one thing I will say about the handshake, you made a lot of great points, but I think the real reason he didn't go down is because he was too mesmerized by Kento's hair. this new color that he had, I think he couldn't believe what he was looking at. You know, he didn't really notice. He was all riled up with the adrenaline of the match. But when he got a look at it after the match, he was like, what? And he just couldn't move. He froze in the handshake.
Of course. Why not?
That's the analysis you won't get on the other show. Gentlemen.
Kento Miyahara's hair. Yeah, analysis, Dylan. What else on this show? We had the DDT versus Evolution match. That was very short.
It was just a total build-up match, like a very fiery brawl. I mean, Suwama destroyed Okada and, yeah, and threw him into like five rows of the fans at one point. I can't wait to see it when they do something more substantial with, yep, Suwama and these guys. And the junior talent was also very good in their match. It was just like you said, very short match just to set up the future, pretty much. And I thought it was very effective for what it was. But yeah, it wasn't like a great match. It was more like an angle.
It was more of an angle. We had the special tag match with Kairi and Soriano going against Unagi Sayaka and Sari. 17 minutes. Kairi in the end won the match. What do you think?
I thought it was really well done. I mean, it's hard to mess up a match with Kairi, Ano, Sari. Mm-hmm. And Sayaka is not a great wrestler, but a great character that you could kind of swirl these great talents around and really make work. So I thought it was really well done. I have really enjoyed, because I see a lot of people talk down on Kairi's run, but I really think she's been massively underrated by some people. If you look at her run as the artist champion in Stardom, yes, she didn't have the big singles match, but her singles match against Mercedes in America was a great match as well. You know, you had the big moment with her and Mayu last year. You know, the artist title run was all fantastic matches, and she was really good in them. So I don't know. I've really liked her run. And I thought this was another kind of notch on her belt as she's ready to go away. Sari, great wrestler. Again, having amazing matches up and down her career. And ever since she's come back, she's had a great fire to her. obviously most noteworthy is her match versus Arisa Nakajima from Corken Hall and Seedling on the 25th of August. That's like a match of the year level match. I thought it was absolutely fantastic work on her part. She's great again versus Kairi here. Ano, me and Sandra have talked about it a lot on the Patreon. She's been one of the MVP players of the five-star Grand Prix. So lots of great talent here. Really well worked. And Kairi, 1-0 in All Japan. And, they actually announced earlier today that we're talking. Her last match in Japan will be in Stardom on October 9th. They set up a trios match there for her. She's teaming with Nanai and Mayu. So it's gonna be some really cool stuff there against Koguma and Saeeda. It's going to be some good stuff for sure there.
Yes, good match. Definitely one of those matches on the show that's worth checking out. Just going browsing through the card, there aren't that many more that are actually worth watching. One weird one was the six-man tag. Atsuki Aoyagi, Rising Hayato, and Yuma Aoyagi beat the team of Ryukyu Honda, Yusuke Kodama, and Masao Hanabatake. In 9 minutes, it was billed as the Gunyur of Anarchy graduation match for Ryukyu Honda. I don't know if Shotaro Ashino has anything to say about that. He's still injured. He's out. But Honda is now apparently gone from that group. And without Shotaro Ashino and Ryukyu Honda, that group isn't worth anything. So they might as well disband. Just weirdly announced that this will be a graduation match. I don't know about that.
You know, I obviously liked his run in the tournament, and the fans really got behind him. Like, there's no question. He's got something inside of him, and he's always had it, ever since he came into All Japan, pretty much. That's just magnetic about him. You just can't teach what he's got. But I actually don't love this at all, like this graduation deal, especially as a follow-up to that run. Like you said, I think it was basically perfect booking for him. Get all these great wins and then lose at the end, exactly what you want to do. This graduation thing, and we already have to overcome this terrible look that he still has. They have to change this hair. Please, somebody change it. If they do
all
that,
about the hair on this show.
I mean, this is a hair podcast at the end of the day. Yeah. We are fashion, you know, we are fashion connoisseurs right here. You know, you definitely have a modeling background, I think, as well. You know, I think you have that for sure. And I'm somebody that I'm very fashion centric right now with so many sports jerseys that I have. That's basically the extent of my fashion, as well as occasionally wrestling shirts that were gifted to me as well. But the fact of the matter is this, in all seriousness, they need to change that hair. Like, it's a really, really bad look, and he doesn't look like a star with it at all. And it really hurts him, in my opinion. His work is fantastic, though, and that's never changed from the start. Well, it changed in the carnival for some reason when they tried to do that ill-advised heel run that they had, but they moved on from all that crap now. Him teaming with Nagata was a great idea. Great booking in the tournament. Graduating... It sucks. It still hurts my heart because I loved their team so much, him and Ashino, and I thought there was so much gas left in the tank that they obviously threw away, and they had good intentions with Ashino. It just, unfortunately, the injury happened, and you still got a lot of story left to tell with Ashino, don't get me wrong. Where does he go from here? I don't know. They did a thing with Nagata, but he also... They need to rearrange his look and his gimmick a little bit, I think, if they want to fit into his style of wrestling more, which kind of fits his own style, actually, a lot. I think they need to go through a little bit of a style gimmick change, or maybe that's what this is actually leading to, ultimately. Now that he's out of GOA,
I guess so.
That'll lead to a new look for him, maybe a new faction he joins, but maybe that'll lead to something. And either way, I think they still have to get to him and Aoyagi in a title match because he did beat him in the tournament.
Sure.
Even if it's just a filler match. I think he's on a good pathway, don't get me wrong. But I think this was a little bit of a misstep, but we have to see how it works out too.
Yeah, the match is announced, you know? It's announced for Corken Hall, September 23rd.
Yeah, and it should be a great match. And I just hope he has a new look, a new style to him now that he's out of GOA. See what the next glimpse into the future of his next direction. What will it be?
Yeah, I'm really high on this Shinkiba card they have lined up in preview to that Corken Hall card, because in the main, we have the Triple Crown prelude match, Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi against Yuma Anzai and Ryukyu Honda. That could be an incredibly great match in front of a hot Shinkiba crowd. That sounds like a hoot. We also have Hokuto Mori and Aroki Doi against Koji Omoto and Black Mensore and Kotaro Suzuki and Keiichi Sato, three-way tag. There is a six-man tag that I'm also very high on. It's Zuwama, Dentamura, and Ryo Inoue against Hideki and his boys. It's Hideki Suzuki, Takuya Nomura, and Fumi Nori Abe. What a great trio. And back to your point about Hideki Suzuki and Pro Wrestling Noah, Dylan. Whenever Hideki Suzuki arrives in a promotion, he immediately boosts their level of competition in that promotion, where we had this confrontation between him and Jake Lee at the final of the N1 victory. Now he is here. Hideki is also going to appear for Big Japan Pro Wrestling, I believe that was announced. So this one could be great. Then we have a junior heavyweight title prelude tag team match that also looks very good with Lindemann and Junji against Hikaru Sato and Andy Wu. And Sunny against Uedage Sayaka, Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato against the Saito Brothers, and Shuji and Ren Yabe against Yoshitatsu and Koki Iwasaki. Koki is a good guy coming into All Japan, so this one is a very, very good card.
Absolutely agree. I think that seeing the junior tag build up is really good. I think the thing is, all of these matches, actually, they're all perfect build-up matches. Yes. Exactly what you want on a show like this. Even the Unagi thing, I think Sunny's a really good opponent for her on a show like this, where you don't have to go to a big match, you know, bring in a big freelancer or whatever. It's just a build-up match for Sayaka. It's probably not going to be a great match, but you get to see her. Sunny gets some experience as well. All the Evolution girls need that. The Hideki stuff, I mean, freelance all-star of Japanese pro wrestling right now. Just doing great stuff everywhere he goes. Hopefully, I would love to see him in some kind of big angle. But even if he just does these tag type of matches, I think you could still get a lot of value out of that on your card. Because that's really one of All Japan's problems right now. I think everything they're actually doing is good. You know, like, they do a lot of good stuff on these shows. Just sometimes the depth at the top is a little thin. Mm.
Yeah.
And I think bringing a guy like Hideki, he can make everybody better. So
he could be a glue guy, definitely, if he stays around.
Absolutely.
They've set up a lot of guys, but they are still far away from a level of Kento Miyahara. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think this is a guy you could bridge like those guys too. Somewhat similar to, I remember a few years ago, I mean, it was a long time ago now, like 6-7 years, when they had Mashimo come in for that like 6-month. Mm-hmm. Period. And he was able to work all these people in the carnival. He had draw matches, had the great rivalry with Kento, and it was really able to bridge Kento's big title reign into the bigger matches like Akiyama at the time. I think if you wanted to, if they have ideals to do that and they can work things out politically or whatever, let Hideki have a little bit of a run against Yuma, and I think that would help.
Oh, both. That was so great.
Yeah, both Yumas, Anzai and Aoyagi, actually, I think would help both of them tremendously. So I think that's what they need to be looking at with him. I think that's his true value. But like I said, even in tag matches, I think you can still get good stuff out of him. So yeah, good card. I like a lot of the buildup. And my one flaw, if you even call it that, I don't think it's a huge flaw. I think some other, like, All Japan purist fans probably see this as worse than I do. But I mentioned this when I was on Flow Show. With Gerard, if you look at the company, outside of the main two titles, all of the titles are held by outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see that change a little bit. Get All Japan a win or two now. I'm not saying you have to switch all of them over right away, but at least give them one of them back to feel like they've got some momentum as a company back. I would like to see that very soon. Any of them, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the World Tag title is also held by the company guys.
Yeah, I said the top two titles.
Oh, the top two titles. Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have the All-Asia title still on Yoshitatsu and Atsushi Onita, hoping that changes
soon. Be the one that changes first.
Yes. But there is no title match announced for that Kurikan Hall show. We'll still have to wait for the one. Hikaru Sato could win the title back from Lindemann easily. I think that will be happening. Other than that, on that show, there is some interesting or minorly interesting multi-man matches. The most interesting one to me probably is the Evolution versus DDT match. Suwama, Den Tamura of Evolution, and Ryo Inoue, of course, against Yukio Naya, Yuya Koroku, and Rukia. I think that especially Koroku and Ryo Inoue could have some great sequences in there, but also Den Tamura could work very well with Yuya Koroku. This is a working relationship between DDT and All Japan that both sides can only really benefit from if they play their cards right. In the end, from both sides, there will be wrestlers being elevated. I don't know how much interested Suwama is doing in business with a Yukio Naya, for example. But if he was, that would be great for Naya. And he seems like a guy that could also be a very good fit for All Japan Pro Wrestling, which this is also something that makes them a little bit different from other promotions in Japan, that they still have a lot of guys that are really tall and carry around a little bit of mass. They've in recent time also promoted Ren Ayabe to a significant level where he can team with Shuji Ishikawa. Ryukyu Honda is of course not that tall, but he's got some size to him. Yuma Aoyagi is all right with his height. Kento Miyahara obviously is there. Shuji and Suwama still. So they have some decently sized guys. And the one, of course, Yuma Anzai, we already talked about. So that's a company where Yukio Naya would also fit in well. And especially after his comeback in DDT, it's really not that he made a lot of an impact coming back, because early this year, before his injury, he really was on the cusp of becoming their next guy. They gave him this new look. They had given him a new entrance theme. But then he returned in the six-man tag, and ever since, he's basically been on multi-man matches. So I'd really love to see him getting more shine.
Yeah. He's a guy, like you said, they kind of turned him into a project. Really, last year, too, they ended the tournament they did at the end of that year. They gave him some wins and noteworthy moments. And then, obviously, that led to his title challenge versus Hino. I think he's not bad, but I think he's got a long way to go to be able to get where they want him to be. And I think even they kind of see that because they played really conservative with him since he's come back. And I think there's definitely room for improvement. I'm not giving up on him yet. But he's not somebody that I feel like I don't think they've done anything wrong by pulling him back. Let's put it that way.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so much for All Japan Pro Wrestling for now. I'm really positive on what they have lined up for the end of the year, because at this point last year, everything was in shambles in this company.
It was a complete train wreck. Yeah.
After they had this great first half of the year, they completely derailed all their plans that they had. But now everything seems to be pointing in a good direction. Even an act like the Saito brothers, they managed to get themselves over with the Voodoo Murders gimmick, but with a different take on the Voodoo Murders gimmick that they had before they thrown out Suwama.
Yeah.
Now it just seems like they are this heel team where Taro eventually, from time to time, interferes in their matches. But it's not House of Torture level bad that it used to be at the beginning of the of the Voodoo Murders return. So yeah, I've missed them, of course, when I talked about the big guys on the roster. Jun and Rei Saito, obviously one of the tallest and biggest wrestlers on their roster.
Yeah, you're right. They are probably among the biggest. And
gotta say, when I watched these matches, the one against Shuji and Ren Ayabe, for example, they've gotten better over time. They have some great tag team synergy, of course, because they're brothers. But they've also gotten better inside the ring when it comes to the one-on-one confrontations that they have. So we could expect some bigger matches from these guys too.
And we saw it in the Carnival. And that's how I've always been a fan of theirs as workers. Even when a lot of people thought they sucked as young Lions, I thought that I liked that they brought something different to the table with their sumo background. Obviously, they've gone away from that in the Voodoo Murders deal. But if you look at their carnival run, Ray had some pretty good matches, and even June stepped up some as well in the other block. They're not bad. Like, they're really not bad in the ring. It's just the gimmick that made them look awful for a while. And now, like you said, they've toned it down. It's still not completely gone away, but it's a lot better. You're totally right. You hit the nail on the head, and they're not bad at all. And I think they're a good tag team. We'll see. Again, when I was on Flow Show, me and Gerard were talking about Tag League. They may be a team that could be a favorite to be in that down the line. And I think I said it there. There's not a lot of like tried and true tag teams, really, when you look at All Japan right now. You have Yuma and Kento, but that's a double champion with the Triple Crown guy. And we probably think that they're going to end up fighting, by the time comes. And then after that, there's not a lot of tried and true tag teams right now. And I think they're one of the few and one of the best ones that I think that you want to get behind and have some consistency to that division.
Yes. Yeah, so much for All Japan Pro Wrestling. Let's go over, Dylan, to this DDT show that just happened yesterday, DDT Big Bang. Show that I really liked from top to bottom. I thought that DDT presented a good show. The thing, though, once again, was with this with the crowd and the building maybe they had, Otawad. It didn't come across like a hot crowd, but Michelle, who was in the building, texted back and said, hey, the crowd is quite hot for all the acts that they're there, and they're over, and they're reacting to these acts. I mentioned that, for example, when Yuki Ueno did not turn on his tag team partner Mao in the semi-main of the show, and he drop-kicked Daisuke Sasaki and Konosuke Takeshita, it didn't come across that the crowd was really reacting to that in any way, but apparently they were. So maybe it's the building, because when we talked about Dangerous Gate for Dragon Gate, I remember also that we said there the crowd wasn't really into anything that they presented, but maybe it's Ottawa, maybe it's the building. And then again, they announced a crowd of 1,363, and I have a hard time believing that there were so many people in the building, because the entire upper deck was basically empty. The lower floor was filled very well, so maybe got close to that, but it looked like a very small crowd, to be quite honest. And the Dragon Gate crowd looked maybe a little bit bigger than this one. I don't know if Ottawa was the right choice for this show.
Yeah, 1,300 is not great for that building anyway, to be honest, even just the announced number. So I buy it as legit. I just don't think it was a great crowd, ultimately. I do think, I will say this, and I thought, obviously because of the interaction of it, I think that the main event did get the crowd going a little bit when they were brawling into them pretty much on there. It felt like a chaotic scene that they were able to create in the main event. But I agree with you on the most part, too. And maybe you are right. Maybe Michelle is right. Shout out to her, by the way. She was a great guest for us on the year-end show last year. I'm doing some great things as a fan in Japan going to the DDT here. Maybe it was just the building. Like you said, maybe the mics aren't mic'd up right. To me, I really have to disagree with your notion of top-to-bottom great show, because I thought this was like a tale. If you split the good parts and the bad parts, the good parts are great, and the bad parts are atrociously bad. So that's kind of how I feel about this show. Like, half of it was great, and half of it was truly terrible. So that's how I felt anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it. I got a laugh, for example, out of the Akito and Yuki Ino match. This is obviously a style that you don't like.
That wasn't the worst match on the show.
The Onita one was the worst one.
That or the tag title match, I think, were both like absolutely abysmal matches.
Yeah, the tag title match. That's right. Yeah. I may have to track a little bit back on my notion of the overall great show. Completely forgot about the tag title match.
Well, you're not wrong for that. Now you're not wrong trying to wipe it from your memory.
I remember that I was watching this match and I was just thinking, how can Minoru Fujita still be in a significant match on a big show in 2023 when he is completely broken down and doesn't have really anything to offer anymore?
It was actually better than his partner in the match.
was better than his partner in the match, and they actually are the new tag team champions, which is...
That was the worst part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't good. I actually skipped the Bunkhouse Current Blast match because it's always the same match, you know?
Well, yeah, you already know it.
I went to the finish of the match. I saw Jun Akiyama got missed it, and Takagi got pinned, and that was all that I needed to see from that match.
Yoshitatsu, a winning player once again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really liked the double six-man tag title match. I thought that Isami Kodaka and Yuko Miyamoto being in that match, Ram Kaicho also there going against Saki Akai, of course. I thought this was a very unique title match, and Eruption are going to have some more of these unique matches down the line until Saki Akai eventually retires from competition. So I really liked that.
That was good. How just not to interrupt you, but how good was Miyamoto? Like, he brought the violence against Saki Akai in that match. I really liked his performance. I thought he was very motivated for whatever reason in this match, and all of the Eruption team did good. And by the end, they made Yukio look like a beast with the finish with the big knee strike. Looked great. Miyamoto was like my MVP of that match and really made it good.
Yeah, I was really surprised that in the end it was Miyamoto taking the pinfall.
Yeah. Well, Kodaka's the champion of Ganpro, and
they
don't want him to obliterate Ram with the knee strike, I guess. So when you think about it.
Yeah, they have another title match lined up for September 30 now. Eruption are defending against Chris Brooks, Masahiro Takanashi, and Mei Suruga. So that could be once again a great match.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Katsuki Hirata and Naoki Doi match?
This was hilarious. I really liked it. I think this is something I want to say, too. In DDT, it's not just like pheromones being offensive or whatever. It's not just that. That's the problem. It's this morally like thing that you want to say. But more than that, a lot of these DDT comedy acts, whether it's them, Antonio Honda, Sasadango Machine, it's really just the same thing over and over and over. Hirata takes extra care to make all of his matches different and do cool things and put a lot of thought and effort and heart into his matches. Yeah. And here we had this match. All of his matches have been hits for me so far. We had Mini, the Hirata doll in the match he had with Hiroshima there, which was hilarious. And now here, the idea of this match was there are judges on the outside. And if Doi did a move that Hirata didn't do, that was a penalty. Like, they stopped him from it. Like, oh, he doesn't have the skills to do that.
Yeah, at one point, Naoki Doi had a visual pinfall, but it didn't count.
Yeah, yeah. And then he just ended up, well, all right, I guess I'll be like Hirata. And he did the full Tokyo Go deal. And
yeah,
Hirata...
they returned the cradles, the one-shot miracle cradles.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Hirata was in disbelief at Doi's dance moves and his attempt to be like a Magnum Tokyo there. And in the end, Hirata got a win. Put it in the record books. Hirata beat Doi in a match.
Yeah, that was so good. I was so happy for Katsuki Hirata because for the longest part, this guy just didn't get anything in DDT. He was always just the undercard comedy guy that was in multi-man matches and got the eventual Iron Man title run, but really never got anything significantly to do. But now he's this double champion, and this extreme title run has been extremely good. The matches against Harashima and Yukio Sakaguchi were all very well received. I think he's on a great run, and now he's getting the match with Hiromu Takahashi as well, and it's just so great to see that finally somebody in DDT noticed that, hey, we could actually do something with this guy, because whenever you look at the crowds, he has to be one of the most overacts in this entire promotion. He's so charismatic. He's a good wrestler also. And for DDT, you could really say that from the newer generation of DDT guys, he embodies the entire aura, the DNA of this promotion, maybe to the biggest degree.
Just a master at controlling the crowd. if you look at his matches and how he designs his matches to work. And I mean, like this, it's, you hesitate to even call it a match, really. You know, it's not,
well, yeah,
you know, it's not like, you can't compare this to the main event, in my opinion, but they were both awesome in their own ways. You know, like, this was totally successful in what it wanted to be and what it tried to be and how great it was. So you have to really praise Hirata for being able to pull that off. And against a variety of opponents, too, and I agree with you, they've really only briefly touched on him and Endo having that brief rivalry a few years ago as in terms of being a real wrestler, quote-unquote, and he was really good in it. Like, he's actually a really talented guy, despite being in the comedy gimmick, kind of like a Sakura Hirota like type of act, where she's actually really talented, but the comedy is what they're known for. So, yeah, like, everyone will point to the main event title, the KOD title, as being a big difference maker for the company and making it better. But I think one of their best decisions as well was putting the Extreme title on him, because you've got a guaranteed, like, this match can only happen in DDT. Like, this match with Doi, and I think it really helps the overall vibe of the shows and the company itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Another vibe for DDT, of course, was the Akito and Yuki Inoue match. It was a fine match for what it was. This moment where they used the fire extinguisher and Akito used the 3 or 4 seconds that he wasn't visible for pulling down his pants and bringing out the pheromones string was done extremely well and with extreme good care, because that could be a spot that completely blows up if the fire extinguisher doesn't really work out. So the finish there was done very well. And the best part out of this is that pheromones are now going to disband. I know that a lot of DDT fans in Japan are pheromones fans, and the act is extremely over. The act, though, has run its course in the last couple of months. It's been overdue that this act is going to break up. And they are going to break up at the end of the month, and we'll see where Yuki Ino goes from there.
There is 0% chance that happens. So they've already announced that Akito will decide their fate on the October 4th.
He's going to join the pheromones.
This group will continue. Unfortunately, I wish what you said was true, because everything you said was right. It's just like, there's no way they're going to take... Maybe it'll be kind of like, remember when they broke up Damnation? And then they just came back with Damnation TA.
Damnation TA.
That might be what
so
we see.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, that might be something we see here, but that's about to the extent as I think this breakup will happen. They will not get rid of the pheromones or Dino and his act. Whatever they call them, it will still be the same, no matter what happens.
Pheromones XXX.
Please, God, please kill me or let me die.
Well, let's look at the top of the card then. What was your favorite match of the show?
Oh, definitely the main event.
Okay. I like the tag match better.
The tag match?
Yeah, the tag match. For a small margin, I like the tag match better than the main event. But
you said it was horrible earlier.
No. The not the tag title match. The semi-main of the tag of the show. Mao and Yuki Ueno against Kunosuke Takeshita.
Oh, yeah. That was a really good match. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, like, the tag
I like,
match.
You know, Fujita much more than Shigehiro Irie and Chris Brooks.
Now, the tag match was
really
good.
That's the hill that I'm going to die on.
Yeah. The tag match was really good, and I loved the fire that Ueno's really gotten brought out of him by Takeshita here. Obviously, it started with their big singles match, which I think everybody remembers really well from Peter Pan, but they've continued this. They've had a 6-man tag and also this tag match here, and I think each time, they've done great stuff with those two specifically, along with Mao, and Takeshita has a lot of good to him as well. You know, so I love the thing how they did this here. It was the perfect finish with Ueno beating Sasaki. Probably Sasaki's best match that I can remember seeing.
Yeah,
and it's one that he was not in that much, which was a great idea for making the match better. But Takeshita just on a next level. And, you know, compare Ueno, this fire has came out for the last couple of months, but look what he was doing before this. He was really floundering. Even when he faced Higuchi for the title, it was a good match. Don't get me wrong. He's always been a talented wrestler. But he didn't have what he has going right now with Takeshita in terms of the emotion and the charisma he's bringing out.
And that's the key part of why I like this match so much. They stacked the deck against Yuki Ueno so much. Takeshita and Sasaki did, and two or three times they set Ueno up to turn against Mao, and he ultimately did not. He ultimately stood up against Konosuke Takeshita, and he brought exactly that, what you said, out of him. That was the missing piece that I wanted to see out of him. He always was a great wrestler, but he had this spark missing. We talked about that a couple of months or weeks ago about him, that he's just this dude that wrestles well, but has not a lot of stuff going for him otherwise. But here, all this came out. He was presented to be on a similar level as Konosuke Takeshita, and that's all you can ask for, I guess. You, with Takeshita being in AEW, you will probably not get a Yuki Ueno singles win over Takeshita. That's not going to happen. And Mao is, of course, also not beating Takeshita in Curtain Hall. That's set up for the end of September as well. But with Yuki Ueno just standing up for his friend and for Sona Kamina against the former leader of their group, this was just such a great and well-built tag match. And then it also came down to Mao protecting Yuki Ueno from the, was it the elbow drop from Takeshita? I don't remember what the top rope move was. An elbow, right?
I think so.
Mao protecting Yuki Ueno and then setting him up to get the victory against Daisuke Sasaki. I thought that this match had strong wrestling and this great elbow exchanges between Ueno and Takeshita, but also a very strong storyline element to it, which is why I thought, to me, this was my favorite match on the show. But I can also see Chris Brooks and Shigeyuri Irie being the favorite match on the show, because it was a complete banger and these two just beat the ever-living shit out of each other, Dylan.
Oh, absolutely. I really loved the match. The main event was really great. It seems like, you know, Brooks lately, it seems like he was interviewed somebody and they probably told him a lot about working hard-hitting style would be best. And suddenly, what do you know? This match happens and he takes that advice from a wrestling genius that, like, I feel like must have happened at some point. I don't know. It was me. It was totally
it was you.
But I did say that. I thought you could, it's on tape. You can listen to it right there. I told him that. But he was, and what I told him to his face, like, I really thought that he's gotten much better over the years from where he started at in DDT to now. Because I think if you look at where he was when he beat Higuchi, I mean, look at the last year before that. Like, there wasn't a lot there at the end of the day. In his run, you know, like, there just wasn't a lot. I mean, he had the match with Takeshita, and I think we talked about that a little bit. And that was a great match a couple of years ago. That was really a turning point for him in his career, I think. And then it's just like not a lot was happening. And then finally they go to this run. The Hino title reign was just, and the thing is, I hate it because I really like Hino. You know, he's a great wrestler, but the title reign wasn't working at the end of the day. And they needed to do something different. And they ended up going with Brooks, who, to me, is kind of like that spirit of DDT. Like, you know, he kind of represents for DDT. Like, you know, Kenny Omega before him, again, not stylistically as a wrestler, he's not the same as Omega, but he represents that heart and soul of DDT, you know, at that point. And he ended up winning the title against Hino, dove into the crowd. It was this amazing moment at Peter Pan and all of that. And he now he has the chance to be the champion. And that's always a difficult thing. So who do they bring in? Irie. A badass who hits hard, does great things, and wrecks stuff all over the place and wreaks havoc. And it was a perfect... Now, actually, even more than Brooks and his performances, which have all been strong, I thought he was really good in this match, but I just love the way they booked this title reign out. Look at how they've booked it so far. Higuchi, Hino, Irie. All monsters for the hero of DDT to overcome. I thought that's such smart booking, especially considering where they're going, because now we're going to go into a 180, into a completely DDT special style match. But Irie was so awesome in this match. Remember when he did the... it was almost like a Rainmaker setup, but then he twisted him into a pretzel only to deliver a devastating headbutt.
Headbutt, man.
Oh, it was sickening.
Sickening, yeah.
Yeah, the best of ways, in my opinion. I know you probably didn't like it, but I did.
I cringed, but yeah.
And Brooks did fire back to set up the praying mantis bomb, which they had teased throughout the match too. And he did hit the headbutt before that, so it was a good little story. They did like some crowd. I mentioned it earlier. They did some crowd brawling.
That's the part of the match that I absolutely disliked.
Yeah, that's the part. Yeah, I can see that. I can totally see that.
Because it didn't really serve any purpose, and it already seemed to me like that it was a disservice to the match. And Michelle even said it. She texted me during the crowd brawl, because the crowd, the crowd level, the crowd was on one level on the floor of Ottawa, and they just went to the back of the building where the table was located, and nobody, that's what Michelle told me, nobody could see anything that was happening. So that crowd brawl really was completely unnecessary and didn't do anything for the match.
And let them use the table.
No. That's fine. You can do that ringside too.
There was no "we want tables" chant though, like in American wrestling.
Okay, no, so you can't use the table. Okay.
No, you can use it. They just didn't chant for it, and that's because the American fans are really annoying when they chant that.
That's right.
So I'm very glad they didn't do that. But yeah, it was much much better when it got back to the ring.
You're totally right. Yeah. When it came back to the ring, it was a complete banger, and I have to say that I love that they just incorporate 16 karat gold into this story, where the elbows that Iria delivers to the shoulder, that's the elbow flurry that he won the 16 karat gold with this year. It's now called the 16 karat gold elbows, which is just completely awesome. Of course, they are going back to both guys' history in WXW. They also had a match in England. That's why they had this match named Borderless Rivals. So yeah, just WXW got a shout out on commentary as well. So yeah, it's just so surreal to see that.
Oh yeah, especially for you, like being in Germany. I know Yannick Spadoosh popped for the elbows too. He mentioned that on Twitter. Great spot there. Iroh's just a man, and I really got to admit, like I said, you know, just like I told him, I thought he was really mid for a long time, but I think he has improved as the champion, to be honest. Brooks did, so good thing for them. Like you said, the number wasn't that great, and that's a shame, because they'd actually had some positive momentum actually coming off of Peter Pan. I felt like were doing some good things, and now for the title match, that's when you really want it to elevate. It's something we didn't mention earlier, but it's something I wanted to say. If you look at the history of the tournaments this year in Japanese wrestling, N1 is true of this as well, but same thing for G1, same thing for Champion Carnival. If you look at it, a lot of these shows are not drawing that well throughout the tournament, and then the final comes in and it's way up. And that's what happened again, where you had strong finals. Same thing with the Champion Carnival. The tour wasn't drawing at all. Then the Teok and Ashino match comes, big main event. G1, big main event with Naito and Okada, saves the tournament pretty much. And then Go and Keno also had a great show as well. And it felt like Peter Pan, that was kind of like their unofficial tournament. I mean, they're going to have another one later in the year, obviously. But they kind of had these low drawing attendances for a while. And then the big show happened. Same thing with Dragon Gate 2, with Kobe World. The big shows still reach people at a higher level than the smaller shows. And maybe people viewed this as maybe a smaller show, which is a shame, because Irie deserves a lot more respect as champion, and or as a challenger, rather. And hopefully he can get a title, a big championship run somewhere.
Yeah. Absolutely. I have hopes for the last couple of months in DDT with Brooks and Katsuki Hirata in prominent positions. I think that these, much like you said, these are two guys that are very popular with the roster, with the fans, and can get fan attraction behind their title matches. And I really love to see that Hirata reign continue. Got high hopes for the match with Hiromu Takahashi as well. So there is something that they set up for the remainder of 2023, and we'll see how Ultimate Party in the end shapes up.
And I'm very disappointed that Brooks didn't use the Carolina Reaper in the match, like I told him to call back to Dream Futures team. You've got to go to the ghosts of the past to beat the big guys, but nobody wants to listen to me, unfortunately. But still, Ultimate Party coming up, getting Hiromu there is a great get. I think that's a great thing for him to really have this match again that he can only have in DDT. I think that it's a good idea to put him against Harada, great worker, great creative mind. Hiromu, his mind is going to be working overdrive for this crazy ass match. Saki Akai going on the retirement road, and they're setting up a title match with him and Brooks, or her and Brooks rather, coming up soon.
Yes, that is going to come up as well. Yeah. Yeah, overall, very enjoyable show. I liked it from, much like I said, I liked it basically all of the...
Except for
all,
the matches you skipped.
Except for the match I skipped, and for the tag title match, I thought it was a good show. So check out those matches that we mentioned, especially the top two, of course, but also the Hirata and Norikidoi match. Those are probably matches that are worth watching from this show. And yeah, just hoping that DDT gets going more and more to go back to a point where they can be a promotion that's drawing more than 700 or 800 fans to Kurgan.
Where are you at right now? Because we talked about All Japan. We like what they're doing. And Noah, we like the tournament well enough. And it seems like they have at least potential. We don't really trust them, but they have potential if they do something good. And we actually like All Japan, what they're doing. Where are you at with DDT? Because, again, you know, I've always looked at you as the DDT. You are the dude when it comes to DDT to me for a long time. But how are you feeling about them right now as a company?
I'm beginning to feel more confident again about them.
Yeah, because you were struggling a little bit as a fan earlier in the year too.
Yeah, I'm beginning to feel more confident now with how they're setting their coming shows up and with the champions that they have. I have given up hope on the tag team title scene because that's been so bad ever since Mao and Shuma Katsumata had to drop the titles. I hope that Shuma Katsumata comes back very soon, that they can continue their shortened title run. But with Damnation in the tag title scene, it's just there is no hope for this scene. Other than that, Chris Brooks on top is the choice to go with. There is really no one else that really screams that they should be QOD Openweight Champion right now. And you said it. They've done great work with him overcoming all the giants, and now they're going to go to this DDT sort of match with him and Saki Akai. One of the best matches of the No Crowd era in DDT. They had this double title match. Also, the Iron Man title match was on the line in that match. So they could go back to that match. Oh, they will go back to that match. And, of course, like I mentioned, with Hirata. Hirata, he really should be an integral part of DDT rebuilding more fan interest, because they've not been there in the last couple of months. Yeah. There's been a lot to be left to be desired on this roster. But with these two champions, I am feeling a little bit more confident that they could actually set up some good stuff for the immediate future, because they do have the talent. They do have the talent with Yuya Koku, with Hideki Okatani, for example, Takeshi Masada, of course. I'm higher on Yukio Naya than you, but do you think that Naya is quite good as well?
Yeah, I'm not giving up on Naya. I just think that he's got a little ways to go.
Yeah, definitely. Yukio Eno showed so much fire in this match, so I'm much higher on his upside now as well. So I think they've passed the point of their lowest level right now in this year, and there is only way to go up from here.
Yeah, that's basically how I feel too. I thought it was pretty rough for the first half of the year, pretty much. And they kind of gave us that glimmer of hope. Higuchi and Hino in January, I thought was a fantastic match. Brooks and Higuchi in the final, you saw something there, and it felt like a great moment for the fans as well. And then obviously Peter Pan was very successful and worked out. So they've given us glimmers of hope, but for the first half of the year, it was, like you said, the low point pretty much. And I agree with you. They're past that now, and they've got a lot of guys. I think that Mao and Takeshita, which also got announced as well, that's going to help Mao grow as well. And he's a guy that I think has grown a lot, much like Brooks himself. But I think he's grown too in terms of a
absolutely. And we only talked about Yukio Inoue in this match, but I thought that Mao was as much of an integral part to the match as you can be, with him standing up to Takeshita as well.
Oh, I totally agree, and I love what they did. Takeshita is just, like, one of the absolute best in the world right now, and he's showing it, and it's not just his great performances, but how he's bringing great things out of the guys around him to where you can see that. I think totally agree with what you said. Mao gained a lot, too, and he'll gain even more from the singles match, and I think then you've got two guys that are on a good run with Ueno and Mao. You've got Hirata being kind of this you know, DDT glue guy right now, too. You know, you've got some guys to look at, and Brooks as champion has done well so far. We'll see how long it goes, how well it continues. But so far, I pretty much agree with everything you said, and I'm on the same page as you.
Yes. So this brings us to the end of the show today, Dylan. Football is coming up for you, so I'm not going to...
What about Dragon Gate?
...keep you here anymore. Yeah, there's only one talking point at Dragon Gate that I basically have.
Yes, we can do it.
What do you think about the debut of TN Revolution?
First of all, I always got to praise you for your Spanish pronunciation right there. It was flawless. But TN, as he is now known.
Yes.
The match itself, I mean, that show, like you said, there's really only one thing to talk about the show.
Yeah.
It was that. I mean, I got to say this. Shimizu and Benkei was a really good match. I thought they were really good. Like I said, I think this show overall, just with the two ending matches, was a step forward from where they were at last month, where they did literally nothing. So I do think, as small as it may be, it's a baby step in the right direction. And the main event was very successful in putting a spotlight on Nishikawa or Revolution. You know, you have him there where he got the pinfall win over Daya. The whole match was built around him. And then they gave him his own promo segment at the end, which I really liked. I thought it was a good segment, but there was one glaring flaw with this that I'll get to in a second. But for his part, I thought he came across really well. I liked the idea of him saying he's above Dragon Gate because, I mean, when you want to talk about star power, you know somebody working in IWRG knows that. That is where we go for the best wrestling and the star power, and he knows that IWRG just clears DG. There's just nobody in the roster that can touch any of the competition he was facing, like Dr. Cerebro in the past. Besides that, I like the idea of it. It was a good thing to start off. He even kind of punked out Z-Brats, which they're geeks at this point.
Like, that was so awesome. He just completely punked out Hio, and Hio just said, okay.
Yeah,
they just stuff. I'm going.
Now, that was great. Now, hey, I love that part. That was awesome. And on top of it, remember, he had the crowd in the palm of his hands when he walked out. I think to put him in the main event was a great call by DG.
It was the right call, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
they needed
sense it that huge parts of the crowd were there to see Takuma Nishikawa return. As soon as he came out, he didn't even have his own entrance. He came out to Yamato's theme, and after the match, he still had the Dragon Gate Rookies theme for him, which is totally awesome that they didn't have anything ready for him, which is a great story. I mean, he's a trainee coming back from Mexico. What do you expect?
Yeah,
you could expect, but with him, you could expect that, because that was a groundswell amongst the Dragon Gate fans for this 1 year that this guy had been in Mexico. And when he came out, he immediately had this superstar aura surrounding him. A superstar aura that Dragon Gate really needs right now, because as high as I am on guys like Madoka Kikuta or Big Boss Shimizu, they don't have that final level that you'd want to see in the main event Dreamgate level. There's just a spark missing with these two that the prior generations had. They are great wrestlers, but they've not yet come across to the level that they've made them superstars. That is also on the company, because we've said it on different times in this past months and weeks, the storylines haven't even been there that they could have been elevated to that next level where they want them to be, probably. But with Takuma Nishikawa in the mix, there feels like there is this guy that is immediately ready for a push to the main event level. And I think I might be, I don't know if that's very accurate what I'm saying, but I think I've heard the Open the Voice Gate guys say that they have a big show coming up in Yokohama early next year. And I could see them
It's in January, yeah.
Yeah, them wanting to do a big match with Takumi Nishikawa right out of the gates, and maybe even a match against Madoka Kakuta.
And what you hit on was what I didn't like about this whole segment. I love the part about Z-Bratz. Him cutting the promo in the first place was good. But then you have Kakuta, the champion, who's standing there while he's doing all this and saying all this. There's just like nothing there. Like, what are you doing?
He didn't have a comeback.
Exactly. Like, and like, you are the champion. Like, you're supposed to defend this company above anybody else. And it was just a nothing segment for him. And he looked as bad as Z-Bratz to me by the end. And he's just,
and he was the one that did the announcement of the Reiwa New Era guys, you know, earlier this year. And that's his company. He's taking this company on his back, and there is this new punk coming in and saying, this is not the level I expected. Smash him in the face with a lariat.
Yeah, exactly. This should have been a brawl that everybody had to pick up. And, like, you know, this should have been a huge fight at the end of this. Or at the very least, grab a mic and cut a fiery promo yelling at him, you know, and really showing a lot. And we didn't get that from him. He just didn't have anything. And I was like, man, Kakuta, you suck as champion. And he's a great wrestler. Like you said, he's a talented wrestler. But as champion, I really think it was too soon in hindsight. And they were in a tough... And it was a tough spot, you know.
Yep.
Who knows when they knew Shun was going to go. Maybe Shun told him, hey, I want to go on this excursion in 2 months. And they just said, well, we got to get the title off of him. And Kakuta just happened to be the champion. And they were just like, let's go with it. It's a great story. Made for an epic moment at the end. And that's great and all. But you can't sacrifice the rest of the year for one moment, you know. And I think that's kind of what's happened, because there's just nothing there. And like you said, it is on the company as well, not just him. At the end of all of this, I'm kind of like, man, we're 4 months into this title reign, and I've seen all of his matches so far. And, you know, against Yoshioka at Kobe World, against Minoura, and now we're heading into this where there's just nothing there on the mic either. I'm about ready to pull the plug on this reign. Like, and I think they'd be better off with someone else and maybe get back to the drawing board, which, I mean, similar to when Shun was the champion, they pretty much did exactly what I just said. And when they went back to the drawing board, it made him 100 times better, and he became a big star for them out of it. And hopefully you can get Kakuta to that level. But right now, I just don't think he has it, despite the fact that he did cut that promo.
Is Shimizu winning the title then?
It's not impossible. I mean, he's a guy that I've always loved him. And I actually think in that match, he had more of an aura against Benkei. And I think Benkei also had an aura, but they don't want to push him right now, despite my objections to that. I think he had more of an aura than I saw from Kakuta against Yoshioka or Minoura, in my opinion, if they wanted to do that. But they've never pushed him ever to that level, so it would be out of character for that. But for me, if he doesn't drop it to him, I'm ready to see whoever they have planned next. I think it's time for somebody else to get a shot and let Kakuta go back to the drawing board, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know if Shimizu is the guy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's a good point.
Looking at the roster, he is the one that's positioned the strongest, and he has this clear story going on with him on the path of beating the Reiwa 6. And that's more than anyone on this roster has right now, really, because this roster is not only lacking clear stories that are main event level stories. This roster is also very thin right now. Mm-hmm. I told you before the show, recorded, they even brought back Ryo Saito. I have to see when he wrestled the last time, because he's of course the GM right now. He has wrestled 2 matches on this tour. He has wrestled 4 matches this year. One was for Genki Horiguchi's 25th anniversary show. That's, of course, one of his friends. Then he wrestled 3 matches in late August and 2 now in early September. The roster is really thin, and they lost Minorita now. He has an ACL tear. He was one of the best acts on the under and mid cards. Shun Skywalker, like you mentioned, is on his excursion. They have Ryoya Tanaka as this new guy, and then they have the guy like Ryo Fuda, who isn't even on the tour for various reasons a lot. So, yeah, the roster, they badly need a bigger roster. But where do you find that?
I think the talent level is good. The star level is very low right now. Somebody like a Jason Lee, I had a lot of high hopes for his Bravegate reign, and that totally fizzled out and went nowhere. And we're kind of on the same page on Isshin.
Yeah.
Right now we're not his biggest supporters. I know a lot of DG fans like him, and I'm not hating on him.
I'm not seeing what they are seeing for the moment.
I'm with you completely. Don't worry, I'm totally on your side on him. And we'll see where it goes. I like the idea of giving someone new a push. I just don't like the output that I've gotten from him so far. And then, you know, someone like Daya, he took the fall in that main event. Remember, not that long ago, turn. I mean, he was the hottest guy they had with the skateboard coming out. And now it's like he's basically...
They completely blew it.
Yeah, totally agree. Like, and I've been so disappointed.
And whenever they go to smaller towns, and when they do this survey, when they bring these younger fans into the ring, a lot of them mention that Dragon Daya is their favorite wrestler, but they have nothing for him. They just job him out all the time.
And that's really strange to me. Like, I thought they've had so many chances, even in the tournament a couple of months ago.
Yep.
They had a great path if they wanted to for him to do something big with Yoshioka. You know, they had the semifinal ready made. Instead, they went with Hyo. And it's like, what? You know, it's like, why you do that? Umo Guemai Fai Di Sao right now. We need to exercise these demons, like I said, from this company right now, because they don't know what they're doing, it seems like. There's just a lot of staleness. And like I said, I think the talent level is good. The star level is very low, and that's also on the performers. And again, much like Ikuda, it feels like he doesn't have what you need to have as a champion, in my opinion. Even compared to last year with Yoshioka, I felt like he had it. And it went up pretty good. Like, his title reign went good, and it had some great matches for sure. But maybe not the revolutionary title, you know, title reign that changed everything. But it was a good title reign. With Kakuta, I don't think he even has it. So I think it's a really tough spot, and they haven't booked. And I said this, I don't even know when we recorded this, but I said this on an episode of Dream Dragons, where I was talking about how there's no stories really going on right now, and I've kind of given them a little bit of leeway because, as I said, you did this huge moment at Kobe World, and then both of the main guys involved are gone, and the third guy is you're not pushing him at all. And that's really wrecked their plans. But it's worth mentioning, and maybe I've given them a little too much leeway in hindsight. They could do other stuff if they wanted, but it feels like whatever they wanted to do or had plans for flew out the door into other countries, and now they're just not going to do anything until those guys come back. And I think that's a really big mistake. They should change it up a little bit. And I think this TN Revolution deal, this was their answer to a lot of the criticisms we've had. Like, okay, a new guy coming in, new big promo at the end, set off some things. I thought it worked pretty much well for him, although I didn't like the way it made Kakuta. But I think they at least tried something on this show, and that's kind of my lasting thought. It's a small step forward, but a step forward nonetheless.
It is. That is definitely the thing with him. Just looking at the card that they had today in Iwate, they were in Ichinoseki. TN Revolution beat Ryoya Tanaka in under 3 minutes with a move that's called the Agawe. So and after that, he once again got on the mic and said, Dragon Gate must change. We have a job to bring about a revolution. So that's going to be interesting where that leads us, with at least that being a storyline that we can follow.
I like it. Yeah. I like everything they've done with him so far, just in a short time.
Yeah. So, I was about to end the show already, but we didn't talk about Dragon Gate yet, so that's right. Dylan, thank you for bringing that up. And now you're off to watch the start of the football season. I am off to watch some more wrestling, and that's it for us for this week. Glad that we got to do the show in between your family coming over and football. So that's great, Dylan. Thank you for doing that show. And also, of course, thank you to the listeners.
Oh, absolutely. And I loved being on. We had so much to talk about. You know, there's I always love doing the show with you. Like I said, I wish that we could have done the show earlier in the week, but it worked out well. I had a fun time with Dean, and thankfully you liked it as well on there. And obviously you being on here is wonderful. All the fans love seeing you around as well as me as well. So good stuff there. I listen to all the other stuff. Go to the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. We did a show covering All Japan with me and Dr. Jonathan. Me and Sandra are all over the 5-star Grand Prix and all the stuff Stardom's doing. There's this weird tag event today I haven't seen yet, but there was a lot of mixed tag stuff, and they're building up to the tag league in the middle of the tournament. I don't know why they're doing it, but that's how they've chosen to live their lives. And a shocking return that nobody expected. Coming soon, probably by the time you hear this, if it's on Monday, but definitely by Tuesday at the latest. The return of Tiger Cast W.
Oh!
After over a year-long hiatus talking about the show, we finally have gotten to the Hell in the Hole era. Cheyenne has come back, my sister, back with a vengeance after getting actual
what
friends.
A return.
After getting actual friends and a job, she's decided that she misses Tiger Cast W. So everybody sign up to the Patreon so you can listen to that. You know, all the archive too. Shout out to Patreon, because they have this new deal with Spotify to where if you link the accounts between Patreon and Spotify, you could get the Patreon archives on Spotify. So actually, it's one zillion times easier to search for stuff on Spotify than the Patreon search. Which, and we've done so much good stuff that deserves to be listened to, in my opinion, not just to like sell the Patreon or whatever, but I really think that some of your best work was on some of those week of shows about Satoshi Kojima, Nagata, Tenzan. We did two on Hashimoto, Nakanishi, Chono, Muto. We covered everything. Me and Jonathan did a series on Muto. Me and Dean are going to do a series on Kaito Kiyomiya's A Golden Lariat on his first title reign in Noah later this month. Compare where we were with Kaito to where we're at now. See how it holds up, because I have a lot of thoughts on his first title reign. And me and you covered it in real time, obviously. And I was a big defender of Kaito's title reign at the time. You had a lot of guys, a lot of the big names, you know, at the time covering your voices of wrestling and all of that, that were kind of down on the title reign and him. And I thought he did a fantastic job. So we're going to see how my defense of him 5 years ago holds up in the modern era as well. So lots of cool stuff on the Patreon. But really, get on that Spotify game. Look up the old episodes of Tiger Cast W. We have 16 in the archives, but also the week of Lariats. And the one on Inoki, too, I had a ton of fun with that.
Oh, the Inoki one. Oh, I love the Inoki one.
Yeah, and that was a lot of matches you hadn't seen before, and I thought you were awesome. It was so cool to have you watch them. Yeah, yeah, you did all of them. I thought legitimately some of your best work, not even saying anything. It deserves to be listened to, like I said. Listen to my other show, Wrestle Update. Me and Nello are just in the thick of things, covering everything going on. We recently did an episode on all the pay-per-views. We did All In, obviously. We even did a show covering two GCW shows. If Metal Noah is listening, I know he respects it right now.
Love it. Shout out to Metal Noah.
Yeah, love Metal Noah. Good, such a good dude. True Noah fan as well. We had some talk on Twitter recently about the Psycho Clown return. Really cool guy. But GCW, me and Nello did it. And the latest episode is All Out and Payback as well. So, and CM Punk getting fired too. We finally put the bow on that as Nello finally gets to put the final nail in his most hated wrestler's coffin, even compared to me. It's very unique that I'm the sensible one, but in that situation, Nello did a great job, Dramatic Dream Dragons. I said it before, we did the interview with Brooks. Really, the first hour is more interesting than the second one, to be honest. The second one, we just previewed the show we just talked about, so it's not that relevant afterwards, but you get to hear his philosophy. If it's kind of interesting, I kid around and push him on some things a little bit. I get some different answers than you might expect from him, too. I've read some of his other interviews, and I thought I did a good job, to be honest, to get some different answers out of him. But it was a lot of fun, and hopefully everybody checks that out. Oh, I ever did Ho-Ho Loon, too. We did on that show a couple of weeks ago. Again, a lot of the earlier going, that was a little shorter. But we still talked about a lot of fun stuff. You get to hear about his favorite TVB actor on there. This is a special guest, an Easter egg, too, if you're a listener to Dramatic Dragons. On that Brooks interview, the first thing that happened after it ended, this is a lot of listeners will love this. The first thing I brought up was Hollyoaks to him. because I forgot to mention it on the show, and his reaction was legitimately, Hollyoaks, what the fuck? How do you know that? And he was very, it was like I brought back the Ghost of Christmas Past on him pretty much, there. So he was shocked and furious that I even knew about that terrible show that he hates. But that's an Easter egg for all the listeners out there. But listen to all the shows. Lucha Talk 2 coming up with CML Anniversario. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot better than last month's Lucha Talk with the Triple Mania, which is, you know, whatever you think about the DDT, even the worst parts of the DDT show could never compare to AAA. What a way to end it. And this is how it should always end. Bury AAA. That is the AAA. New rules.
Okay. We'll see how that continues in the future. So, yeah. Thank you for the contributions on the Patreon as well, Dylan, and of course on YouTube, like you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Subscribe to the YouTube. We need the subscribers. We're up to 70 now. Unbelievable nice. Support. Hit the likes. Hit the thumbs up. Like I said, lots of nice comments. Even on X or Twitter or wherever you're at, send us comments. We always love talking to the fans out there. You guys Absolutely. Are always so smart. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.